Thank you for tuning in. Today we are joined by Andrea Kramer, one of the keynote speakers at our up-and-coming BPM and Banking Finance and Insurance Conference. Andrea has a very distinguished background, so I'm just going to take a moment to tell you about her. She's one of the world's most respected authorities on Dodd-Frank and is a partner in the international law firm McDermott, Will & Emery, and is head of its financial products trading and derivatives group. She testified in a historic joint hearing on the Senate Committee on Finance and the House Committee on Ways and Means on derivatives tax reform, and has earned the distinction as one of the 50 most influential women lawyers in America. She's the author of the leading and definitive guide to financial products law and taxation, as well as many other published works on Dodd-Frank compliance. Andrea, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much, Nathaniel.
It's our pleasure. Andrea, while most of our audience will be familiar with Dodd-Frank, could you just start off and give us a quick overview on what this means for the financial services industry?
Well, the question that you just asked me, I could probably take about 2 weeks to answer. So I'm going to try to boil it down into something bite-sized, which is that the Dodd-Frank is so enormous, the implications to the financial services industry are so broad that it has reaches in all parts of banks, insurance companies, investment advisors. And so one of the things that Dodd-Frank means is it means a compliance nightmare. There's, if we try to compare Dodd-Frank with Sarbanes-Oxley, which I'm sure most everybody's painfully aware of, SOX was only 66 pages long, but Dodd-Frank is 849 pages long. And so that is the framework, the skeleton for rulemakings and studies, of which we've been seeing decisions coming out, rules coming out for the last 4 years. And so it has compliance issues with respect to dealing with your customers. It has compliance issues with respect to dealing with your regulators. And it's intended to make our financial markets safer.
What kind of changes does this mean for organizational processes? And in particular, does it require segmenting and encapsulating parts of the business? Or is it something that would be approached more holistically?
Well, I think that historically many of the financial service industry participants have done a lot of their tracking, if you will, in segments. And one of the issues now is that with real-time obligations for reporting and in many situations, plus the need to report transactions to the regulators, the need to have a sense of what is happening at the organization from an organizational standpoint becomes much more important.
So is it really about business transformation, or is it more of a detailed incremental change at the process level?
I think that it's going to depend on the institution and what their appetite for change is, but it could very well be transformational in some regards. For example, in dealing with customers or clients who are using the financial markets, if they're trading in the markets, the banks or the securities firms, commodities firms that deal with them, have obligations for reporting real time, and nobody has been set up to do this. And so it requires enormous investments in systems. You also then have your own internal risk management and record-keeping reporting as well. And so what we're seeing is, in my working with my clients, a team of employees and consultants who are rolling up their sleeves and are really working very hard. The issue as to what you do about from the transformational side, one of the big issues that we have is that the rules themselves are coming out piecemeal. And so people don't have the opportunity to step back and think about how the rules could affect them. They're just working as fast as they can to meet various compliance deadlines.
You know, that's a really interesting point. I think that that is one that's really misunderstood, this notion that it's not all there, that the rules are coming out incrementally. How has that changed the way that these organizations manage risk?
Part of it is that if you don't have a big piece of the rulemaking finalized, there's a reluctance to try to get up to speed to comply because you don't want to be following proposed rules that can change. And so what we had was Dodd-Frank has been on the books now for 4 years, and the very first year what happened is nobody wanted to do anything because they wanted to see what the rules were. And some of the key rules, some of the real rules that turned the whole system on, weren't even proposed for 2 years. And so now in the fourth year, we're at the point where just about everybody knows what they need to do and what they should have been doing. But the real challenge is not wanting to make an investment in a system that turns out you have to change what you thought you were going to do. So we still have about a third of the rules, a quarter of the rules in some areas that have not been even proposed yet.
You would think that we've been down this road before. There are few industries that are as regulated as banking, finance, and insurance. But this is in many ways new territory. I mean, can you talk a little bit about that, about why this is different than the regulation that this industry has faced in the past?
So Sarbanes-Oxley, where people were working on this around the clock and wringing their hands, was 16 rulemaking, 6 studies. Dodd-Frank is 240 rulemakings and about 70 studies. And so what does this do is that it crops up in ways that people don't expect. So Dodd-Frank had 16 titles, and each one of the titles is really standalone, different material. And so it could affect these businesses. It can affect their credit card, their gift cards, it can affect the products that they buy. If we just look outside into the manufacturing, the conflict minerals, where do they get the gold that's put on their products or some of the other materials that are used? What do they have to report to the SEC? Who can borrow money? How do they treat their officers and directors? What about their executive compensation? Many of these issues are driven by Dodd-Frank in a way that makes it just so mammoth that it touches so many parts of these businesses.
Wow. So really, it's not just the top level immediate transactional issues. It's really the downstream activities and need for transparency into the supporting activities that is so critical.
Yes, absolutely.
And I would imagine to implement them and to kind of expand on that thought, you have operational processes that are in place, and you have new rules that are coming in. So it's not a matter simply of being prepared to deal with the rules that are in place, but being able to adapt quickly as these new rules come into play, or is it also even the interpretation of those rules?
It's both, because the systems are not in place, and the cost to track things that were not that these organizations did not need to track before, it is an enormous expense. So they want to get it right, and they want to be making sure that it both meets the needs of the regulators, but also meets their business needs.
Right. And following the financial crisis of the 2008 era, which gave rise to Dodd-Frank, we saw just a total change of the landscape of banking, finance, and insurance institutions. Through M&A, through those that didn't survive, those that were forced into mergers. And back in the pre-meltdown era, we saw M&A driven by buying best practices and processes. That's something that we have on our radar. We're being a BPM-focused organization, we're looking for where business process as an asset really is pronounced in business activity. Are you seeing that as part of this move, or is it simply a matter of acquiescence that if they can't keep up, that they're shuttering?
Well, I think that there's some. I think it's really a combination, because again, it depends on whether you look at it as an opportunity. If you look at the Dodd-Frank and the BPM compliance obligations as an obligation burden, or if you look at it as an opportunity. And I think that the organizations that are faster, able to do things quicker, who have BPM in place and just need to be bolting on more, more of it, if you will, in more processes and in different business lines or areas like that, it's going to make a big difference.
Hmm. And for those organizations, particularly the community banks, the regional banking systems, what advice would you give them today when it comes to BPM?
I would say that for those that have not made the investment, it's time to do so. And for those that feel that the investment is too great, then that they may be thinking about being the next merger candidate or having a restructuring. Because I think that we're just seeing the change in the organizations that are able to play in a Dodd-Frank, post-Dodd-Frank environment are really the ones that can meet the obligations that are imposed on them from all of the different reaches and touches of Dodd-Frank. And so they really do need to have a BPM structure in place.
Great. Andrea, thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much, and I look forward to participating in the conference.